Did you reboot? Did you reboot?
Yeah, I rebooted. I rebooted everything.
It happened at Harsina.
Okay, let's not learn.
Okay,
we're in the middle of Sovia, Pasuk Tes, Pasuk Yud. We're in the middle of the Stupsuki. We did over here, we did the Mitzudas. We did the Radak. Okay, we did the Pasuk Tes, Bamer Atem Ne Orim. Okay, we didn't do the Radak. We just did the Mitzudas and Rashi. Let's do the Radak. Let's at least review over here a little bit over here. No, we did, I'm sorry, we did everything. We did the Malbum yesterday. That's what we finished with yesterday. We spent time on the Malbum, and now we have to do the Mamar Chazal. So let's do the Mamar Chazal, Pasuk Tes and Yud. That is where we are up to, on page 896. Again, sorry for this delay over here. Please don't go over here. There's too many wires. We have to fix this later in the day. Pasuk Tes, on page 896. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu here is cursing the Jewish people. You are cursed. You are cursed for your sins. And you have the chutzpah to say to me, Hashem says, that I have to steal from me, and rob from Hashem. And we discussed this yesterday. How do you rob from Hashem? You take an investment. You ask Hashem for it to rain, and after it rains, the rain brings about blessing. The earth produces produce, and you refuse to pay your mortgage. You refuse to give back to Hashem from the produce that comes forth through the rain. Asking Hashem for the earth for rain is equivalent to asking Hashem for a loan, for a mortgage. Hashem, we need to survive. Give us a mortgage. So Hashem's okay. I'll send down rain. Rain basically is Hashem's currency. It's Hashem's cash. And then the rain comes. The rain causes the earth to produce produce, and we have an obligation to make monthly payments, to give a small amount of what comes forth from the ground to Hashem, to Ruma and Maise. And we don't give it. We refuse to make our monthly payments. We take all of the produce that comes from the earth and we keep it for ourselves. So that's the equivalent of going to a bank and asking for a mortgage, them giving you a mortgage, and then when it comes time for monthly payments, to make believe you have nothing what to pay. So Hashem says, you're ganovim. Now, here we come to Mamar Chazal. Samchu Rabbi Hussein, which I'm going to put, it's on page 896, on the very bottom of the page, under the caption, Likutei Shas Umidrashe HaTanoim, Pasuk Tes, Ba'me'ira Tem Me'orim, you are cursed. You are cursed in the fact that I've basically canceled the rain because you have refused to pay me. Because in the past, the reason why I'm no longer giving you rain is because in the past, when I did give you rain, you robbed from me. And who is guilty of this avera? Hagoy kuloi, every single one of you. There's no exception. The Samchu Rabbi Sein Lud Aldivrei Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, the Aldivrei Rabbi Eliezer ben Tzadok, Shoyu Oimrim, they would say, Ein Goizrin Gezera al Hatzibor Ela Imkein Roif Hatzibor Yecholim Lamboi Bo. The Omar Rav Adavar Hava, Micro, what does this pasuk over here mean? Bame'era Atem Ne'orim. You are cursed with a curse. The Oisi Atem Koivim, and I, Hashem says, you rob. Hahu, Hagoy Kulo. What does this mean? Iko Goy Kuloi. Now this is the Gemara is taking this pasuk out of context to teach you a principle. Iko Goy Kuloi. Mekabel, the editor adds, Mekabel is Agzer of Yochol Amibo. In yes, Iloi Loi. So we're using this pasuk of Hagoy Kuloi. Out of context, to tell us the only time that the Bezdin can issue an enactment upon the Tzibor is if the Tzibor, the entire Tzibor, is able to fulfill the order, the directive, or today's terminology, the mandate of the Bezdin. Bezdin wants to make an enactment. If most of the Tzibor is unable to fulfill what this mandate, then the Bezdin has no right to issue this halacha. The Tzibor must be able to withstand the orders. One of the classic examples of this principle of going to mikvah. Chazal, at one point in time, they instituted, they made a mandate that you're not allowed to daven shachas. You're not allowed to wear tefillin. You're not allowed to say kriyashma unless you are ritually pure. The person has an emission, has his with his wife. He's not allowed to daven. He's not allowed to put on tefillin. He's not allowed to say kriya. He cannot make a bracha. He cannot say Hashem's name until he goes to mikvah. So Chazal originally felt that this was something which was doable. It was doable by the majority of the tzibur. And those people who could not do, so they talked. They would not be able to say Kriya Shema. They perhaps would have to listen to someone that Yoytze with Shomea Koine. But they themselves would not be able to actually say Hashem's name. And when they saw, shortly thereafter, that most of Klal Yisrael, the majority of the tzibur, was unable to fulfill these rules. It was just too difficult to go to a mikvah whenever a person was in the situation. It was canceled. It automatically was canceled. Beis Din is also limited in what they can be goyzer upon the tzibur. That's just one example. There are other examples, I don't know, but there are other examples. Ein goyzer zer la tzibur el imkein roiv hatzibur yecholin lamoy ba. And the Mori here is telling us that principle is learned out here from Hagoy Kuloi. Now again, how does this really fit into this pasuk? Bameiratem ne'arim. I'm assuming what it means over here is that the Gemara is interpreting this pasuk that the curse is a curse of the Beis Din. The Beis Din, when they issue decrees, they make gezeirois, takonois, they're all different types of enactments that come from the Beis Din. Some of these enactments are called charonim. A cherem in rabbinic literature means a curse. That Beis Din says, if you do not do what we instruct you to do, we as a Beis Din are issuing a cherem, which basically means a curse. A curse. No one wants to be cursed by the Chachamim. It's like a snake. Mora says it's like a snake biting. Okay, those are some of the more severe. Then there are times where there's not a curse, but there are takanis. For example, Cherim Derabbeinu Gershon. Okay, that's an example. What is Cherim Derabbeinu Gershon? Anyone that marries a second wife for no reason whatsoever, just for fun, to have a second wife, is cursed. It's not just, okay, you know, you're not a nice guy, you're not doing the right thing. It's a very serious violation. There are people today that are married to two wives. There are people today out there in society that are married to more than one wife, among Ashkenazim, who are seemingly bound to fulfill Rabbeinu Gershom, his takana. So there are ways out. This hetamei rabbanim is something which is very limited, very very limited. Hetamei rabbanim, according to the Adin, is you have to give a get. The ikar hetamei rabbanim is where a person he wants to marry, he has a wife, and for whatever reason the wife cannot accept the get. Why not? So sometimes among the Muslims, let's say she's ill, she's in a coma. She's in a hospital and she's not mentally fit, Rahmanul Itzlan, to accept the get. And a person wants to this can go on for decades, Rahmanul Itzlan. So a person wants to get on with his life. So he wants to go, but he's not allowed to. Rabbeinu Gershom says you're not allowed to be married to more than one woman at a time. And Rahmanul Itzlan, let's say a person's woman was mentally unfit to receive the get, her mind is not there. So she's not competent. So how can he get divorced? He can't, technically. Now, according to the Torah, a person can give a get to his wife against her will. But the midrabanan, it's not acceptable. Midrabanan, a woman has to willingly accept the get. If a woman's not mentally competent to accept the get, he's in a lot of, what is he going to do? So there's a legal loophole called heter merabanan. If 100 different rabbanan independently, totally independently, analyze the situation, they come to the conclusion that this situation has been different, they can write permission that this person can marry a second wife. And what does he do, this person, after he gets hetamei rabbanim? He traditionally must give a get. He writes a get with the full Beis Din, and he makes the Beis Din the shaliach, the agent to deliver the get, and the get is put in safekeeping for the woman. So he actually wrote a get. He got 100 rabbanim independently decide that this situation is unique. They gave him a heter. He then went and wrote a get, actually wrote the get with the real Bezin, and the get was given to the Bezin. The Bezin was appointed to be an agent to deliver the get. When this woman hopefully will one day wake up and she will recover from her illness, the get is waiting for her. So now, he then, in the meantime, he marries a second wife, but he's basically divorced from the first wife because he already gave the get. He gave the get.
If she wakes up and she's now competent, then she doesn't want it.
So that's not his fault. Then it's not his problem, because 100 Rabbanim have assessed the situation that it's not likely. There's a 1% chance that she'll ever wake up. Her medical condition is such that it's almost 0% chance she'll ever wake up from a physical situation. And this person is not obligated for the rest of his life to not be able to marry have children. So they give him a heder. They write the get. That is the most critical thing. They write the get, and he gives the get to the Bezin. He makes the Bezin his agent to deliver the divorce in case she ever wakes up one day. Now, there are people today who have really abused, my father was once involved in this, where there are people today who have abused the Hetimei Rabban. First of all, the whole of the Rabban Bechlal is abused because there are no 100 Rabbanim. It's really only one or two Rabbanim, and everyone else is a carbon copy. Everyone else just stamps it. So that's not really what Hetimei Rabbanim is. It's supposed to be 100 independent, which is almost impossible. 100 independent Rabbanim. Okay, let's put that aside. What?
All Rabbanim.
Oh, really? Right. Okay, so let's say I have Hetimei Rabbanim. Then the problem is, okay, so give the get. No, I don't want to give the get. My wife, she's the wife is not in the hospital. She's not in a mental institution. She's a healthy, strong-minded woman. I want to torture her. I'm holding her up for money. I want her to give me $1 million before she. So I'm not gonna give her the get. I'm gonna get a heter. I'm gonna pay off Rabbanim to write me to give me a heter, and I'll explain to them why I'm right, that this woman is a Rashanta and a Hashefa, whatever she is, and therefore I'm right and she's wrong, and they'll let me remarry, and I'm not giving a get. I'm not writing a get. I'm going to marry a second woman, and I'm going to be married to two women at the same time, and too bad for her. So that is an incredible, awesome breach in the Hetimei Rabban. Hetimei Rabban was never, ever done where a person did not give a get. Hetimei Rabban was done in a situation where Rabbanim allowed a person to take a second wife for a very unique circumstances, and he wrote the get. They wrote the get, and they gave the get to the Bezin. The Bezin is waiting with the get to give the get to the woman in case, as soon as she wants to accept it. Sometimes the woman refuses. Here's the get. Don't hold me up. Here is the get. You don't want to take it. That's your problem. You want to be unreasonable. You don't want to accept it. I have 100 Rabbanim that agree with me that you are unreasonable, and it's not my problem. Here, I want to give a get. Here is the get. You don't want to take it? That's not my problem. 100 Rabbanim agree with me. Yes. They say that you're the one that's unreasonable. I wrote the get. I gave it to them. Here it is waiting for you. Come pick it up. You don't want to take it? That's your problem. In the meantime, I'm now marrying a second woman. That is classic. That is not a violation of Cheir Ben Gershon. But here's the thing. There are people today that get Hetimei Rabbanim and don't give a get. And that is a breach of tradition. And that you're playing. That is playing with fire. Why is that playing with fire? Because this is called a cherem. It's called a curse. This is not called a violation of a takana. There are many different levels of takana. There's takana. There's dinim in halacha. You know, a shavus and rabbanon. You have all the different types of rabbinic enactments. A person should not say kriya shma if he did not go to the mikvah. Person shouldn't say Kriya Shema, go to the mikvah. Let's say a person is in violation. Before that takana was canceled. Is he a Rasha? No. Can't say he's a Rasha. He did not. He goes, you know, he couldn't do it. He had to go daven, and he can't go in the freezing winter. He couldn't go in the freezing winter to the lake and break the ice and go into the freezing water to go to the mikvah. He just couldn't do it. So he went to shul instead and he davened shachris. You gonna tell him that he's cursed? I don't think so. Did he violate a rabbinic takana at a time when it was enforced? Yes. But this was a different level. This is not, this is a violent, there are many different madregas. Rabbeinu Gershon is a curse. It's called a cherim. That's serious stuff. When you're dealing with, so there are many different madregas in rabbinic enactments. There are takonos, there are gezeros, there are suggestions, there are minhagim, and then there are things that are called curses. And you got to be very, very careful. Here, this pasuk says, "Bame'era atem ne'orim." It would appear the Gemara here is taking this pasuk out of context and is telling us that there is a curse from the rabbis. The rabbis are coming to issue curses. We're making a mandate amongst the Jewish people, and this is the way it has to be. This is what the Rabbanan wants. This is their rules. And if you don't want to follow the rules, you are subject. No one's going to come into your home and arrest you and lock you up and send you to Siberia and who don't do it. No one's going to do that. But you should know that the rabbis have some connection to Shemayim, and when they curse somebody, that's not something you take lightly. But then the pasuk concludes as one condition. The Rabbanon are limited. They just can't do whatever they want. Even though they may feel that it is for the best of society, it has to be Hagoy Kuloi. And when it says the word Kuloi, we always have a general rule. Kuloi means the majority. Miloich al kol ha'olam Kuloi. Why the repetition? Kol Kuloi. Because when you say kol, or you say the word Kuloi, it means the majority. When you put the two words together, kol and kulo, it means every last dot, every thing. So here it doesn't say the word twice, it only says the word only once. Hagoy kuloi, it only says it once, which means the majority. So here, these two Rabban in the Gemara, Rabba Seinu, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadik, they take this pasuk in Malachi out of nowhere, and they extract it, and they use it as source material for this principle. Call Asher Yarmuluch Lesosur, call Asher Yarmulucha Yominu Small. The Torah gives enormous power to the Chachamim for them to go and make Takonos Gezerois, even curses, Charamim, for not listening to what they say. But they, the Rabbanon, don't have absolute power. This is not an authoritarian, totalitarian. In other words, this is not a no tyranny. There are rules. The Rabbanan just can't do whatever they want. They're also limited. And if the majority of the community are not able to sustain, they're not able to follow because it's just too difficult, then the curse is not in play. It's not, then there's no curse. And there are many, the Gemara talks about these type of takanos, which I don't remember too many of any of them. But one class we know is the halacha of going to mikvah. You're not allowed to learn Torah, daven, wear tefillin, unless person is ritually pure. And that was in force for a short period of time in Jewish history until the Rabbanon saw that it's the majority of the tzibur cannot. It's just too difficult. And then those who are in violation, they're not cursed. But this is what the Gemara appears to be saying. Bame'era atem ne'oirim, v'atem osi koivim. You are cursed. And osi atem koivim. You are robbing. I don't know how those two words come in. Obviously, there's more to this Maimon Chazal to really translate. To translate how everything here comes into play, all these things. But when you curse, that simply means that the Rabbanans are giving a curse, and you are robbing from me, which appears to me that you're in violation by not fulfilling the rules of the Rabbanan, provided it is Hagoy Kuloi, it is something which the entire tzibur is able to fulfill. You're angry in Hashem. You're cursed and you're okay, angry. The word koivai, right? But hayikva, we said that you're very good, right? We learned that before. The word hayikva is hayarges. Hayarges, gevar, kodom, dayana. Do you think you're going to provoke me? Who do you think you are? You think you're going to play around with me? Hashem says you're going to provoke me? So you're cursed and you're angering, you're trying to anger me because you're in violation of the takana of the Rabbanan, provided that the takana is the takana of Kulay, the entire nation can fulfill. Let's go to the next Mamre Chazal, Pasuk Yud. Pasuk Yud says, Havyuk es kol ha-masir el beis ha-itzer, v'hiter be-beisim v'chonun ha-mizoyis, omer Hashem tzivokos, im lo yitach lechem ad ubeis ha-shamayim, v'adi koyis ilchem b'rocha ad b'lidoi. The windows of heaven. That's why this is very appropriate. In Parsh Noach, the windows of heaven in Parsh and in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, on the 17th day, there is something very significant about the 17th day of this month. This month, if it does not rain by the 17th day of Cheshvan in Eretz Yisrael, according to the Mishnayos, Masechet Tainis, that's when the Yechidim, individuals begin to fast. There is something wrong. In Eretz Yisrael, they start asking for rain on the seventh day of Cheshvan of this month. So today is the second day of Cheshvan. So in 5 more days, in Eretz Yisrael, they begin to say the same Tal, Umotar Livracha. We wait until December 5th. We wait until 60 days after the equinox. But they start saying it immediately. The truth, the Gemara says that really, according to the letter of the law, they would start asking for rain on the first day of Sukkot. But that you're not going to do, because you need to sit in the Sukkot. Hey, be careful what you daven for. Hashem may actually give it to you. So if you daven for rain, we start to say, we have Tfilas Geshem, we would really do Tfilas Geshem on the first day of Sukkot, but you don't want it to rain on Sukkot, because then you're not able to be Mekayim the mitzvah of Sukkah. So we hold off asking for rain until the end of Sukkot, Tfilas Geshem. But Tfilas Geshem is not a bakosha, it is just an acknowledgement that it is, it's like a warm-up. It's a warm-up that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, now is the time of the year when we need rain, and we warm up. According to the letter of the law in Eretz Yisrael, they really start saying the same Tal U'motar Levracha Motsoei Shmini Atzeres. The night after Shmini Atzeres, Mitzoy Shmini Atzeres, would really be the ideal time to say the same Tal U'motar Levracha. The reason why they do not is because of all of the tourists. How are they going to get back home? They have to go to the airport, they have to get into their jeeps, go on their donkeys, get into the private jets. They need to get into, you know, get all of their gear and get back home. And it says that in time of Chazal, it took the stragglers, the people who lived in the most distant lands, and the people that were slow in traveling, it took them until the seventh day of Cheshvan to come home, to unpack, and to be settled. How did they made some calculations how long people took to travel, where people lived, the majority, and there was an assessment that the stragglers, the last people who came to be mekayim the mitzvah of Aliyah L'Regel, they did not reach their destination until the seventh day of Cheshvan. So that is why in Eretz Yisrael, even today, even though we live in the modern world and everyone has an umbrella and everyone has a private jet and you can get home whenever you want and so on and so forth, we still have a spell of the same Talmud Levracha on the seventh day of Cheshvan. That during Golos, they said there's no one's coming to visit. It was times of after the Churban, no one's here anymore for Yom Tov. So we might as well start saying the same Talmud Levracha immediately after Shmini Atzeres. But I think it's not. I think b'diavad, if a person makes a mistake and he says the same Talmud Levracha right after Shmini Atzeres and Shmoneh Esrei, I'm not so sure you repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. Recently, as we're learning some of these halachas. And in Eretz Yisrael, even Bizman Hazer, if a person by mistake, he says the same Talmud Levracha, Mitzoy, Chalamoy, maybe that's different. Halacha L'mayis, obviously you're not supposed to do that. But
you can't say Chalamoy because
why not?
They didn't bench Geshem.
They didn't bench, okay, so what? So they didn't bench Geshem, so.
Somebody pulled it out.
Okay, whatever it is, but
yeah,
we don't do that. Obviously we don't do that. Okay, so we wait until this, that's when they begin to be mispalel for Geshem, only because of the stragglers and the people that are distant from Eretz Yisrael. But if it doesn't start raining by the 17th day, then it's bad news. Something is not right. And why the 17th day? Because this week's parsha. Because this week's parsha, today's Noach, it says in the parsha that the Geshem, I forgot the Geshem began to descend. I forgot what it says exactly word for it, but Rashi on that pasuk says he makes a deacon in the words. But that's another pasuk. It says Geshem. He had Geshem al Oretz, and Rashi there makes a deacon that it's not a harsh expression. It's an expression of rachamim, and Rashi there says that when the rain of the Mabul began to descend, it was delicate. It was gishmei berocha, and Hashem was hoping that people would wake up and do teshuva, and He could cancel the Mabul immediately, gave him one more chance. You know, Noach was a conspiracy theorist. Everyone said he's a meshugna Noach. A Mabul? You're building a teva? A Mabul? This is a conspiracy theory. The world's coming to an end. When was Noach proven right? When it began to rain.
Then they didn't want to let him in.
When it began to rain, everyone says, oh, Noach, he wasn't, you know, it wasn't a conspiracy theory. He was right. It really, Hashem is not happy with us. And it began to rain. But Rashi there says it was Gishmei Berocha. And then when they still did not do teshuva, then it turned violent. And turned into a marble and destroyed the world.
This year, Mitzvah Shem and Chutzlars, we're not going to say St. Talmud until most of Hanukkah is over.
Very early this year. Hanukkah is a very early year this year. Okay. So in this case, what do we come away with is that on the 17th day of Cheshvan is the day when the pasuk says is a zman for Gishnei Berocha, Ad Hayom Hazeh. In 7 days, a very auspicious day. It's not a day of Chorban. It's 7 days of Cheshvan. It's when the Mabul began, but the Mabul did not begin as a Chorban. The Mabul began as Gishmei Berocha. And even actually, we don't do this. Don't try this at home. But there are some communities that don't say Tachma for real on the 17th day of Cheshvan, they view it as a day of Rachamim, because it says in the pasuk, Rashi said, "Beferish Rashi, the 17th day of Cheshvan, the Shemayim was opened, the Arubas im loy eftach lechem." In the sixth pasuk, the Arubas haShemayim were niftachu, and it was Gishmei Bracha. And how do you know? How could you say it was Gishmei Bracha? Look at this pasuk right here in Malachi. We have exactly the same expression where it says explicitly, "V'harikosi lochem bracha ad belida." It's not a coincidence that this is one of the only psukim in Tanakh. These are the only two psukim. There may be more that talk about the windows of heaven opening up to bring down blessing, to pour out blessing. And here it says, "Es arubas hashamayim v'arikosi lechem bracha ad belidai." So the other place in Tanakh, no, meaning specifically in Parshas Noach, where it says that the arubas hashamayim were niftachu, make a gezerah shava, arubas hashamayim. Here it's bracha, v'arikosi lechem bracha ad belidai in Parshas Noach on the 17th day of Cheshvan. It's also Gishmei Bracha Varikosi Lochem Bracha Ad Belidai. You want to mess it up? You want to be stubborn and not do teshuva and not take the mussar of Noach and of everything else that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you in the world? That's your problem. That's your problem. Hashem is not here to Hashem doesn't set you up for failure. Hashem sets you up for success. You want to go take the bracha that Hashem sends down and you want to go turn it into klala? That's your problem. Here the pasuk says that the arubas hashamayim pour down with blessing.
It's your Shabbos. Yud Zayin is Shabbos this year anyway.
Next Shabbos.
No, it's Shabbos. It's
yeah.
Yud Zayin, so there's no tachna.
Anyway, it's no tachna. Okay, very good. No, what about tzedkascha? You were asking, do you say tzedkascha?
No,
by mincha?
You don't say tachna.
Tevi says Gosra. Okay, Hadila, if I told you, why David Mincha?
Why do we wait till the 60th day? What's the reason?
Because in Chutz La'aretz, we don't need rain. In Eretz Yisrael, the it's agriculture, it's a matter of society. In Eretz Yisrael, you're asking a very good question. In America, we really do need rain. We do need rain. In Bavel, where Jews found themselves after the Churban, Bayis Sheni, or even during the time of the Bayis Sheni, when many of these halachas were established, the main population of the Jewish people outside of Eretz Yisrael was in Bavel. And there, it was a klala if it would rain until the middle of the winter. It's a different climate. And there, it's, in general, there's too much rain in Bavel. Where the halachas were established, in Eretz Yisrael, you need rain immediately. But in Bavel, or with the Jews, there you don't want rain. There it can be a sakana. Flash floods, mud, mudslides, all these terrible things. The proper time for bracha was 60 days after the equinox. Now you're asking a very good question. Okay, that's good for Bava. What about Europe? What about Poland? What about Russia? What about Czechoslovakia? What about America? What about Australia? What about Canada, Russia? Every country has its own set of rules. So you should know, some say that's right. We don't pass it like this. In Australia, they do. Actually, in Australia, they do it different. There is probably one of the only places where the minig is the other side of the southern hemisphere of the world. In fact, they I don't know all the details, but really, they have a whole different system of when they say the same talmud levracha, the same bracha. But anything in the northern hemisphere, for whatever the reason is, the entire Europe and Russia and Hulu, in America, we follow the original takana, even though it's true, it's not really accurate for our society. I don't know all the details, but in America, it doesn't seem that in America the time when we need rain is only from December 5th until the spring. It doesn't seem that's correct. It seems that in America, I have to go yesterday and know all the experts. In America, when is the ideal time that it should rain for the crops and when it should not, but it seems we need rain the whole year. We need rain in the summer also in America. We need rain the entire year to fill up the reservoirs, you know. I don't know what the whole system, it's very complicated, but it's definitely in many countries, it's not from December 5th until the first day of Pesach. It's not. It's not like that. So why then are we still saying the same Talamata Levracha only during this period of time? It's a good question. It's basically Minag Avoseinu Diodeinu. The same way that we still continue to keep two days of Sekha Dioma, even though we have a calendar. That's Halacha. That is Orthodox Jewish law. Life is complicated, and this is what has been established, and until we have Chachamim that can come along and adjust and analyze and recalibrate every single path, Minu, Avoseinu, the Yodeinu, in the Northern Hemisphere, it's accepted far and wide that you say the same Talmud Levracha. The Mishnah Berurah, though, he says that if you do say the same Talmud Levracha in the summertime, if I'm not mistaken, right, and say that you don't go back, that there is a halacha consequence. There is a halacha consequence that if you do indeed by mistake continue to say the same talmud levracha after Pesach, so bidyeved, you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. I don't remember all the details, and that's not so when it comes to Nashim Bechmona Geshem. I mean, only the same talmud. I have to review, refresh everything. In fact, back in the back of the art scroll. In the Siddur, they have very big kids and they have all the rules, because exactly what you're saying is, because since the truth is that in America and in Chutz La'aretz, outside of Bavel, it's a different climate, a different environment, and we do need rain. That's right. There are things that Chafetz Chaim paskins l'halacha l'maisa that Shulchan Aruch, based upon Shulchan Aruch, that you don't have to repeat the Shemona Esrei. Okay, but now we have over here this hekish of the Chum Dabzos. Now over here we have a Maimon Chazal that elaborates a little bit more. Ba'avoyin, page 896, in the very, very bottom. Ba'avoyin, due to the sin of Bittel Trumas and Maisho, Shemaim Ne'etzadim, Milahoyre Talumata. This is something we just learned already before, but this is just the Gemara. The Gemara just says it in different words, that due to the sin of not giving Trumas and Maisho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents the Shemaim and the Arish from bringing forth rain, the Hayoyker Hoyve, and things are very expensive. There is inflation. We are suffering now. They see, if you're a believer, if you, not even as a coincidence, the price of gasoline is skyrocketed. Skyrocketed. What?
$50.
Unbelievable. It's skyrocketed. And inflation, price of food, the but basic things, because some places are paying it.
It's
a
lot like
a car. But it's still not
what
it was 100.
We should go that high. Only them like about eight, nine years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, it was like $90 to fill up the car. For it was over $4.50. It was terrible. And that's a tremendous, incredible sakana for the economy. And they say the prices for inflation now in some places 20%. 20%, just basic things, basic
groceries.
Food. Groceries are unbelievable. And the cost of winter is going to be a killer. The cost of heat, of gas, they say everything is shooting up like crazy. Mm-hmm. And this is a very, very big sakana. This is not something to take lightly. The hayoiker hoiver. The hayoiker, everything is not shemayim. You see that? Yeah. Don't we have to be very careful not to focus. If it wasn't Biden, it'll be another Meshuggah, another. It's Ben Hashemayim. Everything comes down to Teshuvah, U'Teshuvah, U'Tefillah, U'Tzedakah, Ma'avidin, Es Roya HaGezerah. All the politicians are dangerous people, and if it's not one politician, it'll be another politician, it'll be this, it'll be that. The Makar is not the politician. You do everything you can to get rid of them, to clean it out. I'm with you, Mr. Elman, I'm with you. Clean them out, sweep them out. I'm with you 100%. But the truth is, as a religious Orthodox Jew, it's u'teshuva, u'tefila, u'tzedaka, ma'avidin, esreya ha'gezer. That's what they taught us in kindergarten, and that's the ikkar.
Notice went out to the candidate to vote, to register to vote. If you're not a registered voter, today is the last day, you can register.
Today's the last day?
To register.
Baruch Hashem, I didn't miss election. They actually come to my house. When mayor told me, what am I called? I'm like, I'm the highest priority voter. What are they? They actually come manage to like the people that come, because I'm on every single election I voted for years. So they come to some of the candidates, they manage to come knock on my door. I said,
they sent out report cards. If you look at the mail,
yeah.
The Board of Elections sent out a vote card saying you did not vote in this primary, in this primary.
Chas v'shalom, I go to every primary I vote. Yeah. Rabbi Chol, he tells me who to vote for, and whatever he tells me to do, I do. Michael Miller. I once voted for him.
How did that come up?
I filled in his name. I filled in. There was one thing he once gave me a whole list who to vote for. There was one thing he didn't give me, so I filled in his name. Okay.
By the way, today is the last day to register to vote.
Just said.
That's how we got into this. That's how we got into this. Today is the Yom Acharon.
If you haven't registered by now, I don't think you're really serious about voting, but if you do want to register, you go to the DMV website.
The DMV? What do they have to do with voting? The DMV? What do they do?
I've got to register the name.
Okay, let's go further. Let's go further. So the pasuk Yud Yisa Masel Besaitzim Yudav Bevesi, there should be food in my that there should be food in my home. Hashem, the Beis Hamikdash, the Kohen Levim, they're my home, they're my servants. Uvechanuni no bezois, Amar Hashem Tzvakus, test me. If I look at Eisa Dibas Hashemayim, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I swear, Imloy means I will swear a Shavua. I will open for you the windows of heaven. Sitting over here, that you know, it's very interesting because we have in this week's parish also a Shavua. Hashem made a Shavua in this week's parish and will not destroy man. And there, Hashem did not use the word imlo. The shu is the repetition. There's a repetition of an expression, and Rashi there says when Hashem repeats himself twice, the repetition is to indicate an oath. Here we have the say also an oath of bracha with the words imloi. And there is inflation. Hayoiker hoiver is a term, an English term to mean inflation. The hasochor oved. Profit. their profits are lost. All the profits go down the drain. People are on unemployment. They apply the unemployment. They seek employment, and they cannot find. The imnaistim. But the pasuk says, but if you do give money, then what happens? There's blessing, misborchin, there is bracha, shenemar. This is the pasuk that we quote. We're learning. Have you as kolamasta beisoyser v'hi telef v'desi. I'm turning the page over here to page 898. You have to turn the whole page. On the bottom, telef v'desi v'chuyin v'zoyser mashem tzavakas and v'efek bracha ad b'lidoy. Okay, next man chazal. My ad b'lidoy. What do these words mean? This is a famous chazal, Omar Rav Ami. Omar Rav actually yivlu sifsoy seichem miloymar dai. Until your lips become worn out from saying dai. Now think about it. Your lips are not affected by the word. Everything, every letter of the aliphates, there are five parts, five havaras. Right, there's a sound that comes from your lips, and there's a sound that comes from your tongue, and there's a sound that comes from the garon, the throat, and there's a sound that comes from
the teeth,
the dentist knows this, the teeth, and there's a sound that comes from, what else did I say?
The palate.
Okay, so the five, every one of the 22 letters of the aliphate.
Five organs of speech.
Every one of the 22 letters of the Aleph Beis is divided into one of these five organs of the pen. Dai, does that come from the lips?
No, it comes from the palate.
It comes from the palate, dai. Now, first of all...
The palate is a dental.
Is what?
A dental.
What does that mean?
The D sound. Comes from the use of the teeth.
The teeth. Duh.
Oh.
Duh, not duh.
Okay, so what does this mean? Actually, yivlu sif soy seichem, lips, the dye, the dalid,
does not come
from the lips. So if it would come from the lips and you'd say it so many times, so then it gets worn out. You know, you're using, you know, eventually everything gets worn out. So this doesn't make any sense. What does it mean? Actually, yivlu sif soy seichem mi loymar dai. It's not part of the lips.
You have to open your mouth to say that. Try saying it with your mouth, lips closed.
So you're saying a chiddush, and you're saying that it's secondary, which is a very interesting answer, because you know, when the primary, I'll give you an example, you have a car. Eventually, after the car, 100,000 miles, what wears out? The engine wears out. What about the doors? The doors, you open up the doors. You know, you can't drive the car unless you open the doors. So when you go to the mechanic and say, you know, I have on the car 100,000 miles, it's not the same anymore. So the mechanic says, well, maybe it's time for a new engine. Maybe we need to make, the mechanic doesn't say, well, the doors have to be replaced. The door opens and closes, even though the car, most cars that are in the junkyard.
I have
done the doors also. Okay, that you can find out. But most cars in the junkyard, the doors open and close. Okay, they open and close. It's the engine, the expensive parts. So here it's saying is, Sheyidlu Sitzosechel Yilay Madai, is you have so much bracha, you'll replace the engine 20 times. But even if you replace the engine 20 times, eventually the door is going to break also. If you want to go and do Tchiyas Sameisim on your car and replace the engine 20 times, after replacing the engine 20 times, the doors also wear out because you gone in. That's how much brach. You're saying a very profound answer. You're saying over here is that we are specifically not focusing on, if you're talking about the teeth, so you go to the dentist, we'll give you new teeth. Okay, we're not even focusing on that part. The teeth is going to wear out. So you'll, but Hashem, even though we'll wear out, we'll force it to function. But the lips, what do you mean? The lips is not that's not getting the abuse. That's not suffering wear and tear anywhere near the teeth. The teeth, don't worry about. We'll fix the teeth. But there'll be so much bracha, even what is secondary, is going to wear out. I can argue, okay, that's an interesting answer. Or the other answer is, who says we are pronouncing the Dalet correctly? Who says the D is the correct pronunciation of the Dalet? Okay, this...
Comparative Semitics.
Sorry?
Comparative Semitics.
Okay, so Harav Cohn, what is there any other...
This Arabic Dal.
Yeah, how do they say the Dalet? With the lips? Is there a
dental teeth.
That's the teeth. But is there, because a lot of the letters that we recite are not, we don't do it accurately. Like, for example, does anyone here know how to differentiate between the aleph and the ayin? Almost no one really knows how to differentiate.
The Yemenites do it.
Okay.
The Yemenites, those in Arabic countries do it, because in Arabic you have an aleph and then you have an ayin.
What's the difference between a samach and a sin? Do we know the difference? Are we knowledgeable in this?
Yes, there's a simple S and then there's a hissing S, a very sharp S.
What's the difference between a vav and a vez?
A vav is w.
Okay, so in other words, we're not pronouncing half the letters, we're not doing it right. We're not, the average person like me doesn't differentiate between an aleph and an ayin, unless at the end of the word. The end of the word is a little different.
Study Semitic languages.
Okay. But the average person doesn't differentiate between an aleph and an ayin, a vav and a vez, a samach and a sin. And by the way,
the gimel.
There's a gimel and gimel. There's a gimel with a dog-ish.
Gimel.
Machen.
Now, isn't there also, if I'm not mistaken, Dalid is really valid. The. Does it involve the teeth? There's a Dalid. Chazal said that a person is supposed to be Marich Echod. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod.
It says.
So how can Chazal tell us to do something that's impossible? There are two Dalids. There are two Dalids. There's a Dalid that has a dot. And there is a Dalet that does not have a dot. The Dalet that does not have a dot is a TH. Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echav.
The.
So then you can be Marich in the Dalet. Hashem Echav. You think that Hashem is in all four corners of the world. You can be Marich. When you Marich on the Dalet, are you using the lips? Echav, a little bit. Using the teeth, but using your tongue and the lips also. You're using a couple of things together. Echav.
It's called a dental.
That's the D. That's the D. But a TH does use the lips more than just the regular Dalet with the dot. So when it says, who says we're referring to the Dalet as the way we pronounce the Dalet? Study the real way to pronounce the different Dalets, and maybe you may discover that the lips are indeed involved in the sound.
Okay. In English, enough.
Enough. PH. Enough. Puh, puh, puh. Okay, let's stop with this. Let's take a very short break and we'll learn some Chumash.